This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Having an affair? Maybe you'd like to send something from Kathy Gallagher's secret lover collection of greeting cards. One morning at breakfast, Kathy Gallagher told her husband she wanted to start a line of greeting cards for, guess what? Adulterers. There was a pregnant pause, and then he said, "I think it's a great idea." Well, Gallagher says that her secret lover collection of 24 cards is the first line exclusively for people having affairs, and she expects hot sales. She says half of people, married people, have had affairs. From former President Clinton's relationship with that woman to shenanigans on TV shows like Desperate Housewives, affairs are out in the open, she says. Look at the soap operas. It's all about forbidden love. Gallagher says, look at how many people on soap operas are having affairs. That's real. These cards are real, and for a lot of people it hits very close to home. People make choices, she says. I'm not about making a choice for them. People make their own choices, and by the time they buy this greeting card, they're already involved deeply in the affair. This is an entrepreneurial venture, and this is an untapped market, and that's the bottom line. Well, she's already printed 100,000 of her adultery greeting cards and is filling orders for retailers across North America, including boutique stores and hotel gift shops. The cards can be bought from her website. The site went up in May, and she's already received 60,000 hits. Welcome to Viewpoint. And many of her hits are probably from Christian women, maybe some men. Christians indulged in secret sin. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about that very problem, secret sin in God's house. Please stay tuned, because what we're going to talk about here is not about the periphery. We're talking about mainstream Christianity. We're talking about mainstream pulpit Christianity. We're talking about men and women, both, who are up to their heads and over heels in secret adulterous love affairs. Well, what would you expect on the near edge of the second coming? The scripture says that the love of many will wax cold. It appears that the love of many for those outside of their marriages is not waxing cold, but waxing very hot. But the love of Christ is waxing very, very cool. I have in front of me an article that came out in a recent issue of World Magazine. This is a Christian magazine. For the greater body of Christ, this particular article is called Secret Sin, Religion. Adultery in the church isn't just a man's problem. In fact, Nancy Anderson's email box sizzles with secrets. 5 years ago, she said, "I stepped out of my marriage and did what I thought was the unimaginable and had an affair." One woman wrote to Mrs. Anderson, "It all started with an email from a friend at church, and that was the beginning of my trek through thorns and weeds. I find myself being repeatedly unfaithful," wrote another woman, "wed for 25 years to a pastor. There's a pattern of literally yearning to experience the excitement and thrill of flirting, crossing boundaries, and sometimes even having full-blown affairs. What I don't understand," she says, "is why I constantly feel restless and wanting to stray, and why my heart is so unfaithful." It's no mystery. The prophet Jeremiah told us exactly why our hearts are so unfaithful. He said, "The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And you know what? That's true for women too. So men and women together, we are in a very troubling time here in the good old US of A, in God's own house. Another article from ChristianityToday.com, "I was addicted to romance." How could escapist fantasies hurt anyone? But they did. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to share some letters that I've received from a number of our listeners here on Viewpoint. I have three of them laid out before me. This very week, friends, this very week, I have spent approximately 4 to 5 hours. Between 5 and 6 hours in broken-hearted conversation with men. Two men, Christian men, leading Christian men, professional Christian men, broken-hearted because their wives were unfaithful. One a pastor, the other a layman. Professionals, broken-hearted, torn up. Their spouses were unfaithful. Women out there say, well, yeah, but that's because their husbands weren't what they should be. Well, is that an excuse? Somewhere has God given us an excuse? And I've talked with those men. I have probed very deeply into their hearts. They recognize that they were not perfect, but quite frankly, they said, man, this thing came as a shock. It was almost like a schizophrenic reaction, like a multiple personality. A follower of Christ one day, and a follower of sexual promiscuity the next. What do we make of this? The brokenness, the trail of tears everywhere. Today we want to talk about that. I want to talk about it from my heart with you. I'm going to share some letters that we've received from some of our listeners in response to some of our broadcasts. We'll talk about these things from the heart. Please stay tuned. I have in front of me a picture. The Prince proposes. You may recall it wasn't long ago that Prince Charles got down on one knee and proposed to Camilla Park Bowles and turned the entire history of the Church of England on its head. The Church of England had forbade remarriage when your spouse was still living after a divorce. But the Church of England decided to capitulate to the cultural mandate, ignoring the biblical mandate and capitulating to the cultural mandate, and decided to approve and wink at the remarriage of Camilla Park Bowles and Prince Charles. And then, it was right about the same time that one of the major denominations in America, one of the fastest growing denominations in the world, the Assemblies of God, changed their entire history of theological persuasion with regard to the matter of divorce and remarriage. Changed it, turned it on its head, rejected that which they had believed from the beginning, and decided to embrace, you got it, the cultural mandate rather than God's mandate. Could it be that this opening of the Pandora's box through the authentication of remarriage when our spouses are still living has really led the way to opening up the Pandora's box now to adultery, carte blanche, the secret sin that's tearing up the church? We'll talk about it. Stay tuned. Jesus said, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. But how about a woman? How about a woman that lusts after men, that thinks that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence and lusts after men? Maybe not in exactly the same way that men do, but maybe through being addicted to romance novels, perhaps, or your chat room on the internet. We're going to talk about that here today on Viewpoint because, quite frankly, this so-called secret sin, it used to be called the scarlet sin of the church, the scarlet sin. Sexual sin in the church The Apostle Paul talked about it so freely there in his conversation with the Corinthian church. Here was a church that thought they were the most spiritual of all of the churches in the New Testament. They really had it together. Let me tell you, these people were observing the Lord's Supper, certainly, and there the flesh was taking hold, and Paul had to warn them about their fleshly practices, even in the Lord's Supper. They had all the gifts of the Spirit moving. Oh, yes, they did. All the manifestation gifts of the Spirit were in high operation. The Apostle Paul had to warn them about their abuses there. And then he also had to warn them about their sexual impurity and immorality right in God's house. He said, you know what? It's getting to the point where it's worse in your house in the Corinthian church than it is among the pagans. Do you know? I think he would write the very same letter to the church in America today. The very same letter. Because we've got exactly the same problems. Exactly the same problems. Now, there are some people who say, Chuck, why do you keep talking about marriage all the time? Why do you talk about divorce? Why do you talk about remarriage? Why do you talk about these things? Why don't you? Well, listen. First of all, I don't talk about it every day. We have the widest variety of issues that we deal with on this program of any talk show in America. Period. Station managers know that. Yes, we bring it up from time to time, even sliding in a phrase or two in the midst of another program on a different subject. But you know what? This is the number one issue in the church today. Period. There isn't anything that comes a distant second. It's the one thing, the one area, that pastor and people alike are in a virtual conspiracy to hide from God on, to rebel against God's word on. That's why we have to talk about it. Because if we pretend that we're obeying God, if we pretend that we love the Lord, and we are holding steadfast our right to disobey His clear black letter word, what do you think our hope for the future is? What do you think God's viewpoint is of a church like that? Now, by the time we're through here today, I want to provide some hope for folk who are struggling with these issues. No, I don't believe that divorce is the unpardonable sin. No, I don't believe that adultery is the unpardonable sin. But I also know that it will keep you out of heaven. It will. It will keep you out of heaven. But it doesn't have to keep you out of heaven. If you repent. Because there's the problem, you see. We don't want to repent because to repent requires that we admit that we have sinned. And that we don't want to do. So we want to authenticate it. And we want to run off to another pastor to tell us what we want to hear. In the law business, we call that forum shopping, to try to find a judge that would tell us what we wanted to hear, that would rule favorably on our case. And so people are running from church to church and from pastor to pastor and on the radio from one program to another to try to find somebody who would tell them what they want to hear. And I'm telling you, you're going to find it. If that's what you want to find, you're going to find it. You will. You'll find very persuasive voices out there that will tell you exactly what you wanted to hear and authenticate your decisions. Fine. Hold on to those until the day of judgment. Then where are you going to turn for your authenticity? Because God sees through it all. He sees through it all, and He's the one that wrote the book. These pastors and false prophets did not write the book. God endorsed the book. He's the one that inspired the words. He's the one, through His only begotten Son, who said, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery. And whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. He's the one that inspired the beloved Apostle Paul to say a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if he be dead, then and then only is she free to remarry, and then only in the Lord. Those are the clear-cut expressions of God's will. If you want to know what God's will is concerning marriage, concerning your marriage, concerning your friend's marriage, concerning your relative's marriage, concerning the matter of divorce, concerning the matter of remarriage. You don't have to go far. You don't have to get engaged in theological gymnastics. So many pastors and theologians are going into great depths to try to tell you that if you just understood the context, then you would understand it doesn't really say what it's saying. Really? So God isn't saying what he said so clearly? Jesus really didn't mean that whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery? He didn't really mean that whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery? Paul didn't really mean that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives? The Word of God doesn't really mean what it says when it says that what man, God has joined together, man must not put asunder. The Word of God doesn't really mean what it says when God says, I hate divorce. Does he really make an exception for you or for your friend or for your congregation, the member that has such a wonderful tithe and offering that they give in your congregation, pastor, that you're just afraid that they might vote with their feet if you told them the truth? See, this is what's gotten us into trouble. Now, I want to talk about this very frankly because this is a huge problem. It's a problem not just in the pews, but it's a problem in the pulpits. Jack Hayford, a pastor to pastor, a couple of years ago in Ministries Today magazine, had a feature article in which he literally begged the pastors of America to stop the carnage of their divorces. He wasn't talking about the divorces in the pews. He was talking about the divorces in the pulpits. One pastor, I was just reading recently, was keeping track of all of those pastors in his sphere of influence alone that he knew that had fallen, as he put it, into sexual sin. At that count, at that time, he had 250-some just in his own sphere of influence. Pastors. Now, can God honor a church like this? Can he bless a church like this? Can you go into church on Sunday morning and do your little dance or whatever you do, you go through your little ritual and pretend to worship God? Is this the feast that he has chosen? Is this the fast that he has chosen? Is this the kind of worship that he has chosen? Is that your reasonable worship? No. This is not pleasing to God, friend. In fact, it's so unpleasing to him that the beloved Apostle Paul says you're not going to get in to the pearly gates. Now, recently, and listen very carefully to what I say here. Recently, I received word that someone had been listening to this program and was deeply convicted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working triple time in this person's life to convict them of sin in their life, and the person was concerned about whether or not they really were going to eligible for heaven because they were living in an unrepentant state in violation of the Word of God. So somebody, some Christian, well-meaning Christian, advised them to go to counseling, to be counseled out of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so that they would feel good about their sinful behavior. This is what's happening in God's house. Ungodly counsel, contrary to the express Word of God, encouraging people to feel good and not feel guilty because, after all, we all sin. And so authenticating, you see, our utter and total depravity and rebellion against God in this area. Now, this isn't the only area of sin. Don't get me wrong. Unforgiveness, of course, that's directly related to our marriages because we're told that we're supposed to forgive. In fact, if we were truly forgiving, as Christ said, we would not be entering into remarriages while our spouses were living because we'd be forgiving them, wouldn't we? Because Jesus said, whoever will not forgive others their sins and trespasses, neither will their Heavenly Father forgive them. Now, this is what God says. This isn't what I say. This isn't a special interpretation. That's the clear, understanding of the Word of God. We're talking honestly and passionately here because your eternal destiny is at stake. Your marriage, your family, your church, your congregation, your city, your whole denomination, our whole nation is on the line. Here is one letter I received from a woman. She's been listening to the program regularly. She said, "Thanks so much, Chuck, for your truthful stand on divorce and remarriage. I keep praying for pastors to preach the truth and repentance on this issue." A man writes, "I'm growing closer to Christ through your solid messages. Keep it up and don't ever compromise on your principles." You know what? That man's wife walked out on him. That man is struggling. Pray for him. That man is torn up. He's a wonderful Christian man. Loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, but his wife walked out on him after many years of marriage. Pray for him. Pray for that family. Pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, will you? Why do we focus on this particular issue so much? Because this is the one area, friends, that we have chosen to isolate ourselves off and say, "God, you're not welcome here. We're not going to let you in. We're going to do what we want to do, the way we want to do it, and you're not welcome. But by the way, if we ever need your help, we'll be sure to let you know." I want to make available to you some books today that could help you. I have four books in front of me. One is called Till Death Do Us Part. Till Death Do Us Part. This is about what God really has to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Another book is called The Walkout Woman, When Your Heart Is Empty and Your Dreams Are Lost. The Walkout Woman. The woman that's looking to walk out in her marriage. Another is called When His Secret Sin Breaks Your Heart. Letters to Hurting Wives When Their Husbands Have Been Guilty of Infidelity. And finally, Your Marriage and the Internet. Your Marriage and the Internet. All of these to help you and strengthen you. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. All $13. We'll be back. Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we talk about the secret sin, the scarlet sin, adultery in God's house. Men adulterizing even through their sexual fantasies, even through their eye gate. Women adulterizing through their sexual fantasies, through romance novels and the like. There are so many ways that we end up through the internet, through chat rooms on the internet, through pornography. Did you know that in a recent poll, 40% of the Christian women that were polled admitted to purposely and intentionally seeking out pornography on the internet? That was women. Women. Among men, the figure is somewhere closer to 60%. Among pastors, 30% of pastors admit to having a pornography problem on the internet. 30%. Do you see how huge this problem is? Adultery is literally stripping the church of its purity and its power. And also, potentially disqualifying those who profess the name of Christ from entering heaven. Here's what the Apostle Paul has to say about this. We need to be very frank about this because to hide the truth is not love. It's only love to tell the truth. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. And that's what we're doing. That's why here on this program, we dare to tell the truth, no matter how much it hurts, because I love you, I care for you enough to tell you what the real scoop is from God's viewpoint. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about this, and he was talking to the Corinthian church. These were professing Christians. He says, "It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, even such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles." He says, "You're puffed up." In other words, you're proud. You haven't mourned that people have done this thing in your midst, and you haven't even taken steps to get them out of the church. He said, "Look, concerning the one that's done this deed, you've got to deliver the one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that hopefully his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He says, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You should not be glorying in your so-called compassion, your false compassion, your tolerance of leaving that person in your midst. He says this is not right. That little sexual leaven will leaven the whole church. He says, purge therefore out the old leaven. Now, he says, I'm writing unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet, I'm not talking about the fornicators of this world outside the church, he said, for then you'd have to go out of the world itself. He says, no, I'm writing unto you to keep not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, and so on. Do you not know that you're supposed to judge them that are within the body, he says? Them that are without, God will judge, but you must put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, is there anything about that we don't understand? Sexual sin is like a gasoline fire. It is like wildfire. You can't play with it. You can't play with it in God's house. You can't play with it in your house. And if you're toying with it, if you're playing with it, you've got to douse it immediately. You've got to repent, you've got to put it out, and you've got to run from it with a purple passion. All right? Now, Paul goes on in the very next chapter. He says, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what about that don't we understand? It doesn't get any clearer than that. An unrepentant fornicator, an unrepentant adulterer, an unrepentant practicing homosexual will not inherit the kingdom of God. And an unrepentant is one who refuses to walk away from it, refuses to admit that it's sin, refuses to walk the other way and embrace God's plan and purity for their life. God will not continue to forgive you if you perpetually go back into the swine pit. He won't do it. There's going to come a point. The scripture says that God's spirit will not always prevail with man, will not always pursue you. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you should harden not your heart, the Bible says. We've got to repent. We've got to allow that the sword of the Spirit, you see, to pierce our hearts and to cut away the flesh. We were told back in the book of Deuteronomy, circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. So both men and women must be circumcised in their hearts. That's not just a New Testament concept, that's an Old Testament, that's an all-time concept. God wants you to cut away the flesh. Now let me show you how prominent this is in the church. I have in front of me the publishing newsletter from a prominent Christian publisher. Listen to these words. We are proud to announce that August represented the highest monthly sales in company history, all working to fulfill the Lord's great commission of spreading the gospel. Now here's your version of it. Palisades, pure romance, pure success. Palisades Pure Romance has represented the fastest growing segment of our company. Sales have exceeded expectations, with 14 of the first 18 Palisades titles appearing on the national bestsellers list. Palisades has tapped into the extremely profitable Harlequin romance market. Romance readers are among the most loyal of customers. It's no surprise that women waiting for a Christian alternative to the secular market's romances have responded so well to Palisades. Friends, do you realize what they're saying? They're saying they're pandering to the flesh of Christian women, and they're calling it Christian, and they're inducing these women to frolic and fornicate and adulterize, to have passion vicariously in love affairs outside their marriage. Now, I have in front of me an article from ChristianityToday.com, a woman confessing what she got into trouble with, this very thing. I was addicted to romance, she said. When I met Dan at church, I was sure our life would be perfect. During the next 3 years, while he was enrolled at college, we married and had two kids. But life wasn't perfect. After Dan graduated, we found jobs with a ministry that provided housing to low-income families. The harassment and threats from drug dealers and domestic disputes within our large project were a constant stress, chipped away at our self-esteem and so on. Burned out, Dan changed from the sweet theology student into a negative, morose man. Both of us, lacking in faith, were afraid to leave our jobs, and as Dan's bitterness increased, I began to think, well, maybe Dan's a failure. Well, feeling trapped, I escaped. I escaped by reading romance novels. The formulaic story, exotic places, and the tension of a man and woman falling in love were stimulating yet soothing. So as Dan fell deeper into his pain, since I worked only in the mornings, I'd spend afternoons reading one or two novels before the children came home from school. In the evenings after the kids went to bed, I even progressed to a third novel. But reading the steamy romances didn't fulfill me or help my marriage, and after a while, it wasn't enough to just read about romance. Long solitary walks or drives blocked out the real world, enabling me to conjure up my own fantasies. A tall, handsome man resembling different TV characters met me in my daydreams. A successful, wealthy professional, he'd wine, dine, and dance with me, and our love would quickly develop in a moonlight garden or sunlit beach to marriage where I no longer worked outside the home. I wasn't concerned that spending time imagining romantic fantasies might affect my marriage. They're not hurting anyone, I reasoned. But around our 11th anniversary, I noticed that whenever Dan tried to kiss me, I turned my face so his lips just grazed my cheek instead, and months slipped by before I'd finally respond to his sexual overtures. Dan began to complain that we didn't make love enough. He sent flowers, suggested weekends away, but his dark moods made him unattractive to me, and my walks and drives increased to entire afternoons or evenings. My fantasy had grown more stimulating than real romance, and I began to avoid Dan. Then what I thought could never happen did. A co-worker and I began to flirt and greet each other with hugs. One morning, he, also unhappy in his marriage, didn't let go. And within weeks, we escalated to stealing what belonged to each other's spouse, and I was in love. Really? I wish I could tell you the rest of the story. And thousands of families are being destroyed through this very same process. Friend, get a copy of one of these books that would be helpful to you in your marriage. Here's one for women, The Walkout Woman, When Your Heart Is Empty and Your Dreams Are Lost. Or for women, When His Secret Sin Breaks Your Heart. Or Till Death Do Us Part, for marriage, divorce, and remarriage, what the Bible really says. All $13. We'll be right back.
But I'm ready now, waiting for your triumphant return. You call it soon.
Secret sin, that's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint. Adultery in the church isn't just a man's problem either, it's a woman's problem. And we've seen that with all of its, unpleasant reality here on Viewpoint today. What can we do about it? Where do we go from here? Before the break, I made available several books. I want to go over those again with you because we're providing tools to help you and to strengthen you in the midst of these very trying times, times that are trying people's souls and marriages. One of the books is called Till Death Do Us Part, What the Bible Really Says About Marriage and Divorce. And we want to make that available to you. We're going to make all these available for $13. Some of them actually are $14 books, but we're just going to make it so it's easy for you to remember. We're going to make them all available for $13. Till Death Do Us Part. That's one. Another is called When His Secret Sin Breaks Your Heart. Letters to Hurting Wives. When His Secret Sin, His adulterous behavior breaks your heart, women. Then here's another book, The Walkout Woman, When Your Heart is Empty and Your Dreams Are Lost. For any man who wants to love his wife more deeply and for any woman who is dying to be loved that way, Neil Clark Warren, you might remember, he is psychologist and founder of eHarmony.com that you hear all the advertising about. He's endorsed this book, The Walkout Woman, When Your Heart is Empty and Your Dreams Are Lost. And then finally, Your Marriage and the Internet. The Internet is causing more marriages today to fail than just about anything else. Christian counselors across the country are saying that their biggest task now is to deal with marriages that are being broken up because of the Internet. And it's both men and women, men seeking pornography, women seeking pornography. Men involved in chat rooms, women involved in chat rooms. Betraying their spouses, engaging in adultery through the Internet. You don't have to commit the act, my friends, to have committed adultery before God. God wants your heart pure and holy and righteous before Him. Without holiness, no man or woman will see the Lord. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I say. That's what God says. This is one of the reasons why God has not responded to our prayers in America for revival. Because in this area of our marriages, we have refused to repent. We've refused to agree with His viewpoint. And yes, you can forum shop, you can go out and find a pastor, you can find a TV preacher, you can find an evangelist, you can find an author, you can find anybody out there that will tell you what you want to hear on this subject. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. It's very simple. It's not difficult. It's not complex. I'm a lawyer. I could make it complex. I could turn cartwheels around your head and cause you to spin. But that's not what we're doing. God has called me to leave the practice of law. I spent nearly 20 years in the largest family law court of this nation, the Los Angeles Superior Court. I watched my brothers and sisters tear themselves apart. I watched pastors who authenticated their divorces and their remarriages. I listened to Christian counselors authenticate their divorces and their remarriages. It's tearing up the body of Christ. It's destroying our witness. It's destroying your witness, my friend. Not only that, but it's also destroying and jeopardizing your likelihood of entering an eternal destiny with God. Without repentance, and repentance, you see, is not just confession. It's turning from these wicked ways, and these are wicked ways. That's why God has described them with such glaring clarity. Now, I want to share with you a letter that I received from one of our listeners. Here's what he says. I really enjoy listening to your ministry. I find it very much biblically based. However, I think your teaching on marriage is flawed, that you do not take into account the power of free will. Since each of us has a God-given free will, we can choose to be rebellious towards God. In my particular case, the moment I saw these words, I knew where we were going. He's going to make an exception for himself. Everybody today thinks they're an exception to God's word. They believe that what God's saying is true, but not for them. God will always make an exception for them. In my particular case, he says, I was divorced by my former wife. She was the one who committed adultery, was quite proud of the fact that she did. My pastor pointed out the same scriptures that you do and convinced me to take her back. I had her to meet with me in the church, and she called us fools. And then he goes on to describe with some rather blatant language. She basically cursed out the pastor and this man right there in the pastor's office, said, I'm going to do what I blankety blank want to do. She has since then gone on and done what she wanted to do and seems to have done quite well, says this writer. Since my former pastor also taught what you teach, I have been bound by that for all these years, with the result being that I have been alone. I haven't even dated in those years. Well, praise the Lord, brother. You are faithful to the cause. You are faithful to God's call in your life. You're married to Christ. You're still married. You're married to your wife, and you're married to Christ. You don't have a wife that you're living with, but His grace is sufficient for you. That's what the passage means. My grace is sufficient for you. God says my enabling power is sufficient for you in your time of need. That's true for women too. If you don't have a husband living with you, you're married, your husband left, he divorced you or whatever, God says, look, you're married to me. You're betrothed to me. I want you to be a pure bride. I'm preparing you as a pure bride betrothed to me. Please don't adulterize that by going out and remarrying. It's adultery. Don't do it. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself holy. I want you holy, not happy. I'd rather have you holy, sister, not happy. That's what God is saying. Now, let me go on and read what this gentleman says. Because this is pretty much the kind of thing generically that I see over and over again. Because of the way the court treats fathers, especially black fathers, I have a daughter who is being raised without her father. My ex is so proud of what she did in running out of me that she doesn't even lie to my daughter about what happens. She honestly tells her, I think boastfully, that she did what she did purely for monetary reasons. I lost my job, she left. This is a problem that I have prayed about for years. Now, I underline this. Why does he say that he's prayed about this for years? What is it to pray about? What is he praying about? Is he praying about his wife? Is he praying about her salvation? Is he praying about her reconciliation to the Lord and to him? It doesn't say that. He's been praying about the problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is he's been praying about his being alone, not about her salvation, not about their reconciliation, but about his being alone, because he wants a solution. He wants God, you see, to change his eternal mind on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But God's not going to do it, because God says, I change not. The man goes on to write, she was exercising her God-given free will. Now, according to what you teach, too bad for me. I could never get remarried for as long as she is alive. Friend, it's not what I teach. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make this up. If I were to write it and want to cooperate and please people, I would never teach that. No way, no how. I know that people are going to vote with their feet. People are not going to send in donations. People are not going to support the ministry. People are going to tell other people not to listen. I can't help it. I've got to tell you what God says. Should I pander to your sensibilities in order to gain a listening audience or in order to gain a flow of resources like the majority of pastors in America are doing? Then I'm part of the problem. I'm complicit with you in a conspiracy to defile the Church of God while claiming to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It's a fraud. The man says, I'm sorry, but I just can't find that in the Bible. The that that he's talking about is that he should remain single so long as his wife is living. Well, my dear friend, if you had been listening to this program like you said, and really your heart was open, you would know that we have repeated these scriptures over and over and again. And here's one of them. Clear as can be, 1 Corinthians 7:39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, but only in the Lord. That same theme is repeated in Romans chapter 7. Also, the Apostle Paul in the very same chapter says that if a spouse departs, let not the wife depart from her husband, it says. To the married, I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she departs, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. It doesn't get any clearer. It doesn't get any clearer than that. The reason we have all of these convoluted reasonings that are thrown out is because we don't want to accept what God has clearly said. the interpretations that I'm giving you on this program today and over the years are the only interpretations that reconcile all of the scriptures and the passages concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage from Genesis to Revelation. All the other interpretations cause inconsistencies, and God is not inconsistent. This brother says, don't you think that by teaching this you are saying, in fact, that God is cruelly legalistic? No. God is not legalistic. God loves you enough to tell you from His viewpoint as your Creator what will please Him. And He wants you holy, man, woman, more than He wants you happy. It's not that He doesn't want you happy, it's that He wants you holy. This brother says, let me ask you, have you ever been divorced? There's an old saying you should consider, a man with an experience beats a man with a theory every time. Friend, I don't have to murder someone to understand its devastation or that it's wrong. I don't have to be divorced to understand that it's wrong before God, because we have a God who is our Creator. Doesn't Father know best? When will we decide to line up with His viewpoint? Anything short is to go back to the sin of Adam and Eve. Hath God said? Yes, but. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. America's secret sin, the sin of adultery, even in God's house. Run from it. Repent, my friends. Turn from it. Flee from it. God is faithful and just, and He'll forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thanks for joining us today on Viewpoint. Pray for us. This is tough for us to do. This is really tough. Pray for us and send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Get these books. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA.
To Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IRN, its advertisers, or affiliates.